Hi, beloved listeners of How to Survive the End of the World. This is your host, Adrienne Marie Brown, with a very special episode today. We, as you all know, we have been deep in witch season. It has been a wonderful time. We have been on a magical carpet ride of learning how to be in right relationship with the earth and to conjure the world that we want and the lives that we need and the relationships and the love. It's been so magnificent. And today's conversation, I actually think fits beautifully into what we've been in scholarship of, because we have a massive conjuring that has happened, a massive portal opening that has happened, and it has resulted in a piece of art that I think is masterful. I am a little biased, but I also have really great music taste. And the artist that we have today is my sister, Autumn. But it's not just Autumn the individual, it's Autumn the band of Autumn, of the people who have come together to make this gorgeous EP called The Animal in You. So we have Autumn, we have Meryl, we have Nehemiah, and we have Dwight, who worked together on this. I think there was a couple more people who like orbited around, and we'll hear about what their contributions were. And we're gonna geek out today. We're gonna listen to the album. We're gonna talk about the tracks. I'm gonna fangirl. And first I just wanna say hi.
Hi.
I'm gonna ask everyone to bring yourself in. So tell me who you are related to this EP. Let's start with Autumn.
Wow. My name is Autumn Brown. I use she, her pronouns. I'm in a really exciting position today. I get to be a guest on my own show. This is so dope. I never thought the day would come. While we were in the process, I kept referring to myself as the Taylor Swift of the EP. but I am the lead songwriter, lead vocalist. Mm-hmm. I was playing around with the title of like arranger, and yeah, and on some level, the executive director of the project.
Awesome. Thank you for opening the portal and letting this come through. And who was the first person of these people that came towards this project?
Nehemiah Luckett, my brother.
Hi, Nehemiah. Tell us about you.
Hello. Oh my goodness. This is a dream come true just to be here. Oh, hi. My name is Nehemiah. He, him pronouns.
Okay.
And I am the co-composer and songwriter with Autumn and the music director. Mm-hmm. And I'm toying around with the title of music supervisor for the project.
Yes, I love it.
Toy, I love supervision.
I was like, someone needs to supervise me at all times. So, okay, that's marvelous. So Nehemiah, you come towards the project. When did you get involved in this?
Oh my goodness.
Wow, right?
Yeah, I think it was spring of 2018.
Okay.
When we had our first text exchange while I was in Mexico with one of our co-alums from Sarah Lawrence. Mm. And I was just thinking of Autumn. And I was just like, I
As
need to reach out.
As one does in Mexico. Yeah. As one does.
And I reached out, and we had this beautiful conversation about Autumn beginning a journey of re-entering into her life as a musician. And wow. I was just so honored that she asked me to be a part.
Wow. So in some way, the roots of this project are as old as this podcast, which is pretty cool. So, mm-hmm. And then Autumn, who comes next? Is it Meryl?
Next into the fray comes the great Meryl Garbus.
An actual
famous rock star.
Okay. Actual famous rock star, but we're going to act normal. We're playing it cool.
We're acting normal. Like, I've been literally acting normal for like 2 years, and I feel like I'm going to keep doing that.
Do you know how fast my heart is beating
so
right
chill.
Now?
So
chill. Like,
tell us
now we do.
Like, this is like I didn't wake up and I'm dreaming, because in my life, I was in the process of questioning many, many, many things in my life, including my life in music. And I started listening to this incredible podcast, How to Survive the End of the World. And I was like, tell me how.
How?
And you Brown sisters have shifted the course of my life. That's not exaggeration. It probably was via emergent strategy that I found the podcast. And then I do not remember the year because what is time?
What is time?
But I heard Autumn say that she was, Meryl Garbus, I heard Autumn say that songs were coming through her. And I just was like, I have this studio space. The listeners can't see, but I'm in my studio space. I was like, I have
it's amazing.
A basement in Oakland, which is like a precious, precious thing. I have equipment. I have like 2 decades of recording myself and other people.
Yeah.
I've got some resources here. And I think I reached out to Zach at that
point, yeah,
maybe to say, hey, can you tell Autumn that I'm just like, and yeah, offering whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wildly, wildly. I just want to, just so to bring the listeners right into the portal, because this entire process has been divinely ordered. The moment that I received that email, like Zach forwarded the email from Meryl to me, the moment that I received that email, I was on a phone call with Nehemiah. We were on a Zoom call, actually. It was May 2019, because I remember exactly where I was. I remember what I was going through in my life at that time. And I literally remember where I was physically in space. And Nehemiah and I were like trying to figure out how to use Logic Pro asynchronously. Wow.
Yes,
remotely.
Yes, remotely.
And then like Nehemiah was like working on something on his end. And I like took a break from like paying attention to what he was trying to figure out and like opened my email account. And then this email from Meryl.
I'm here.
And
I'm
I was like, here. Nehemiah.
That's sacred stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's divinely ordered, divinely in the flow. So it's so fun to be the sister of all this, because I remember each of these people coming on board and being like, okay, so you're gonna go see Nehemiah again. Okay, so, wait, Meryl Garbus? You know, it's like so very exciting. But then we have another person who comes and joins the team.
Wow.
And this is a very special person that in some ways our listeners have been hearing about. But I'm really curious about, what happened next?
The next person to come into the flow to join the water is Dwight Sterling Dunstan, aka Sterling Duns,
who was my friend through Twitter.
Yeah, Sterling Duns being another person who is famous to us as a hip hop artist.
I was like, he's a famous hip hop artist. Like, he's an amazing famous like bars on bars on bars hip hop artist. So he reaches out. So Dwight, can you tell us a little bit about what made you dive into this pool?
Yes, Dwight Dunstan, AKA Duns, he, him pronouns. I reached out to Autumn about my own podcast, about being a guest on my own podcast that I host, that is called The Seed, Conversations for Radical Hope.
Awesome.
And during that conversation, Autumn had mentioned beginning this musical career, diving in, and I let that simmer, sit with me. It piqued my interest, and I felt this nudge, though I was, nervous and not sure what I could offer, but was like, I think I'm supposed to make some offering. So at 9:29 a.m. on Friday, May 26, 2023, I pressed send on an email that said to Autumn Brown, here are the things I can offer. I can listen to your music and just shower you with love. I could produce beats. I could just listen to you as you navigate any inner critics about being an artist. Here are all the things that I can do.
Wow.
And eventually it was the roles, the two roles that I stepped into, I produced some beats for, or some part of the beats for each of the songs on the album. And I also am the artist liberation enthusiast, which basically my main responsibility is to keep in clear focus the need, power, just magic of what it means to be an artist, and to keep at bay all of the inner stories, messages, hurts, harms that go into artists and actually block our creativity that and keep us spiritually held down, keep us in a playful mode, and to just amplify the sweetness and brilliance of these folks in this space.
Wow, what a wise role, what an important place. I mean, in some ways, I feel like each of the three of you have some aspect of that title in you. Like, I have watched the impact each of you has had on unfurling the artist in Autumn and like inviting forward her voice and her confidence and her creativity and her capacity. Like, I just so many times have gotten to see the wake of the boat, right? Like, y'all come through and then she's like, everything is open and wide and flowing, like, wow. And it's just been so wonderful. So Autumn, do you want to tell us who else was involved in this project before we move to the next part of the story?
Yeah. Yo, I have so many deep gratitudes, because there were so many more moments of inspired offering or inspired stepping in. So I want to shout out Orion Johnstone, who is my vocal coach and is also a really dear friend of Nehemiah's and someone that I've known like in and through movement community for many years, who I happened to like take a vocal workshop with right in last year as we were getting ready to head into recording process. And I was like, I need what this person offers is what my body needs in order to feel fully free. And Orion was willing to work with me in a time where they hadn't really been actively doing vocal coaching, and really just like helped me rewrite some things inside of my body. My dear friend, Alyssa Spencer, also an alum of Sarah Lawrence College, who reached out to me a week before I arrived in Oakland to record, saying we hadn't been in touch in several years. And she reached out to me out of nowhere saying, I have felt nudged to
sacred nudge
get in touch with you. Like, something is telling me to reach out to you. And I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. And I'm like, girl, here's what's about to happen. I'm about to be in California. I'm about to be like an hour and a half from where you live. You have one of my favorite voices on planet Earth. Do you want to come lay down some harmonies in the studio with me while I'm in town? And she agreed and came in, ended up being like my studio girlfriend for 48 hours, which was amazing.
Everyone needs one.
And turns out another role that I didn't know about that turns out is an important role in the studio. Also want to shout out our engineers. Metronomist Marty Gottlieb Hollis was our mixing engineer, and Zay Luis, Grammy nominated Zay Luis, was our mastering engineer, and they were just incredible artists to work with. And my best friend, Alexis Powell, also Sarah Lawrence alum, has been my best friend for over 20 years.
SLC.
SLC in the house.
Go Griffins.
It's Griffins. I was like, do you guys have a team of anything?
It's Griffins, and it's embarrassing. But anyway, back to Lex.
If you had said go Wizards, I would have been, I would just been like, do you guys have wands? Like,
it was going to be in the category of magical creatures for sure. Lex Powell, after we got through recording, stepped in and directed a music video for our first single, Deserving.
Wow.
And so,
and where did you stay while you were in Oakland?
And I stayed with Mac, with Malkia Devich Cyril. I didn't actually get to see them while I was in town, but Mac was very, very generous. Let me stay in her house. And I have to say, I feel like I have to shout out Mac's wife, Alana Devich Cyril, who passed in 2018, right around the same time that all this music was coming through, whose spirit who also is a Sarah Lawrence alum, yes. And Mac and Alana met at Sarah Lawrence and then fell in love years later. Anyway, so many threads, but Alana's spirit, I have always felt very connected to, yeah, even before she died. Yeah. And when I was staying in Mac's home, I felt Alana accompanying me through the process as well. Yeah. So many, there's too many people to talk about, but yeah, that those are some of the major ones.
All right. So now we're going to get into the music. We're going to listen together. So we're going to listen to the album in order, even though I was going back and forth of like whether we should listen to the first single and then, but I'm like, let's listen to it as an album because it's so gorgeous and monumental as a work of art. Like it makes it so coherent. So let's start with Am I. We're going to listen to Am I, the opening song from The Animal in You by Autumn. God, that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. Am I ready to be a channel? So first of all, Autumn, can you just let us know a little bit about this song coming into you?
Ooh, this song, this was a more recent song. Mm. I wrote this song in 2022. I think I was actually sitting on the lake behind your house.
My
when,
house?
When this song came through. Yeah. That was in 2022 when me and the kids
came down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was a mm-hmm. I mean, so much of my songwriting is channeled / improvised. I believe that is the moment when that song came through. And then it's one that Nehemiah and I had the opportunity to work up together when he came to see me in 2023 in the spring. And we just knew, I think that there was, we just always heard it as many, many voices. That was the thing. Like from the moment that we started playing with it together, it was like many, many voices we could feel. And I think there was a moment in time, Nehemiah, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this. There was a moment where we were thinking about it primarily as something that we would work up for just live shows. Like, I don't know that we originally didn't necessarily imagine it for recording, but then we threw it into the mix when we were sharing the music with Merrill and Dwight. And then when it came time to decide which are the songs that we're going to lay down on this first EP, this one ended up being a front runner. And Merrill had this like vision for a cascade. There was like, that was the word that you used. Yes. A cascade of harmonies. And I would say a cascade is what happened. This song features both Merrill and Alyssa's vocals and Nehemiah's as well. I mean, one of the things that ended up being really interesting in our process is that, you know, so we Nehemiah and I had together been preparing to go into the recording process for basically 5 years. And then, truly, but we were, you know, we definitely have had an orientation with this project, everything in its right time.
Yeah.
And
I mean, and it was just to put a note on it, like 5 years that featured like a divorce, a pandemic, like a move, like, you know, so it wasn't just like any old 5 years.
It wasn't any old five years. For any one of us, and you know, when Merrill reached out in May 2019, I remember saying to her, like, yeah, probably by the fall we'll be ready. and I'm so glad that it wasn't until fall 2023, because the level of readiness that we had by the time we were entering the studio was really different. Our level of organization was really different, and Nehemiah got COVID and literally found out the day before we were supposed to fly to Oakland. And so it meant that like the day that I arrived in Oakland, I arrived alone, and then, you know, like basically drive my electric car to Merrill's studio in Oakland to like meet up with her the next morning for the first time alone. I'm like so scared. Because I've never done anything like this before.
Wow.
And we can say more about the magic of that first day, which is very much connected to deserving later. But I just want to name that from a process standpoint, the vocals on this track are initially like what we recorded in the studio in Oakland was Merrill and myself and Alyssa. And then we were able to integrate Nehemiah's harmonies later after Nehemiah recorded more in a studio like a month later.
And I would love just to throw in that adding those vocals was one of my like favorite activities because I hear the song as a question of, am I ready? Am I ready? And I got in the studio and I just kept singing, ready, 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 ready.
<That's right. laughs>
And I felt myself, you know, like being this cheerleader to the song, to Autumn, to the people who are listening, who are asking, you know, that question
ready,
and just
ready, ready.
Trying to give that sense of, you're ready.
I mean, one of the things I love about this as a starting song is that it's asking the question even as it's embodying the answer. It's like, you are the channel, it's coming through, it's so wonderful. And you're still, you know, as you're listening, you're like, right, am I ready? Like everyone who's listening to it is invited into that collective, are we ready? You know, there's just something so beautiful about what happens in that song. Is there anything else, Merrill or Dwight, that you want to add on this before we go to the next? Yeah, Merrill.
This is probably the first, because I got demos from, you know, in a Dropbox folder. Here's what we're thinking of. And we did a lot of incredible organizational work pre-production work of talking about which songs there were, you know, there were more than these songs, plenty more than these songs. But this was probably the first one that I listened to. Yeah. And because I think so much, because I am so blessed that songwriting is my job, I think a lot about how that happens. And to hear Autumn like there say there might be a song coming for like I was like, oh, she gets, she's, yes, she understands.
Yes, there might be a song coming through me.
Yeah, and that is my experience of the very most resonant music is that which comes through, so that our brains are not involved so much, and that first channel is really open. So that was when I was like, yeah, we can do this. And then it became the song that my kid listens to every morning now, because it's a melody. I think part of what I always think about is melodies that you're like, is this another song already?
Right. It's so familiar. It feels like it's in the body already. Yeah. I'm going to just keep saying the name of the album, because as if you are tuning into a live radio show, this is Everything Good from the Animal in You.
Everything good that you gave to me, mornings we'd rest in our reverie, ice in the water and sun in the tea.
Okay, so I want people to understand, when we listened to these songs as a family, Autumn came and she brought the demos, and we sat around the living room of my parents' house and she played these songs. And each one, I think, brought different people to different tiers in different ways. But this one was a real, like, oh, sister, you're really letting everyone see you on this. Like, it's, you know, we're all just like, holy crap, like, you're just really going there. And we get both the, like, nostalgia, and we get the destruction. I'd love to hear from you Autumn, what you want to share about the song for you.
This song, in some way, it like spans, it spans years. The song spans years. Again, it's a more recent song. I wrote it very recently, like maybe 2022. But I feel like it encompasses so many endings. It's not, you know, I really am a believer. I mean, the songs on this album, so many of them are so intimate. And because of the level of intimacy, there's several of the tracks where people are like, is that about so-and-so? And my whole thing with songwriting is I'm like, every song is about me. Like the songs are about me and my always. Experience. They're not about anyone else. And in that way, they're also about everyone, because like, what makes music magical is that like, I made the song, it's about me. You hear the song, it's about you.
Yes.
That's what makes it music.
I was like, Autumn, why did you make an album about my love life?
Exactly. It's like, cause it's actually about, for me, everything good is like it, the expansive reality of the song is it's like, this is all my breakups. This is all of my painful endings of workplace relationship. Like it's all of my most painful, like how do I hold in balance the way that I still love and care for you and also hate you, you know? how do I hold in balance, like wanting to protect the memories I have of the love that we shared and the reality of how I experience you in the present moment, whoever the you is, you know?
Yes.
This song, I remember like, one of the things that was really unique about this writing this song in particular is that it took, it actually took going through a painful ending of a relationship for me to like get over the hump of finishing the song last year in 2023. Like it was in a stuck place. And then I went through something that made me unstuck it, you know? And so, and for me, that's also, you know, the blessing for me of my own songwriting process is that I can trust in the portal itself, the time traveling element of the songwriting, and when the channel is open, that the song will complete itself when it's ready to be complete. And, you know, some of the songs on this EP are, one of the songs that is on this EP I wrote in 2017.
Yeah.
You know, So, I mean, it's like it's very stretchy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm really curious about the instrumentation, the beat, like how did you construct what needed to happen under this song? Because it really is like, it's so sweet. Like you're just like, I have to be able to hold such sweetness. And then I have to also be able to hold this like obliterating energy.
Like, yeah.
How do you create that?
How do you create the beat? Wait, can I say something before I hand it to Dwight?
At least one thing.
Because like one of the incredible, for me, one of the most incredible parts of this experience was handing the music to Dwight to create the beats for, because like this was a, you know, Nehemiah and I had a lot of, you know, we're writing the melody, lyrics, chord progressions, the piano part, we're creating a lot of the, you know, we had a lot of ideas about other sounds, but I think for both of us, we were like, we don't know really how to like, we don't really know how to write the percussion for this, or, you know, we don't know the first thing about drum programming. And so when Dwight reached out and said, I could make beats for you, that was the first thing I was, well, that's what we need.
That's exactly what we need.
But then it was this weird thing of being like, and now we're just going to hand this music to you and you're just going to like, and there were some moments where, you know, I mean, Dwight, I would love for you to share more about your process of creating the playgrounds, as you named them. But there were sounds that Dwight heard that I could not have imagined. And the process of blending the songs as we heard them with what Dwight heard was just wild to me. But I'll hand it over now.
Dwight, will you tell us a little bit about that?
I can try, because a lot of it was truly, it felt blessed and spiritual and accidental and divine. This song in particular, which my, you know, creative comrades can confirm or correct, is the slowest song. So I believe it's 63 beats per minute. And so like the long draw out that you feel, that you're like that journey that you go on. It's like literally the slowest song. And I remember this moment, Meryl, where, and this is just the beauty of really working with people you admire and trust. Like Meryl, you were like, I wonder, like, can you draw out the beat a little bit? So like, it like has a sort of abnormal, like time signature in itself. So, you know, everything, boom, boom, boom. And so we like, there's the way that like the kick drum comes in this kind of double time, and like the snare or the tambourine comes in, like it's just all drawn out. And yeah, I would ask Nehemiah and Autumn just like about the places they were in when they were like writing these, or like, you know, we would ask about the lyrics, or just so much about the world that was trying to be created through the you know, the skeletons of the songs that we got. You know, we like, I sat in and I would make these playgrounds, so worlds that I thought captured what was articulated of the world we wanted, or they wanted listeners to be in. And I would send over two or three things. Some were always like off the wall, like, all right, we're never going to use this. And one song, we actually used something that I was like, yo, we are never going to, and that got used. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But most of the time I would do like two or three that were like, I think, okay, I think this is the world. And one that was like far off. And yeah, really just try and get as close to this like spirit of our emotion that wanted to come through. And yeah, just trust the group that it would get there, or I would get feedback and remix. And that happened a lot in really like beautiful ways of like, can we do this here? You know, taking ego out, just like really everybody's like, let's really create the world. Let's really do this thing and help these songs be as alive as they can be. So yeah, this was awesome. A fun one to make.
Awesome. It's absolutely stunning. I mean, yeah, like I am such a fan, like for real. Like when Autumn played these for us, I was like in a state of devastation, suspended devastation, because I was like, now she will not give it to me. And so I just know that it exists. And it's my favorite song, and now I don't have it. Anyway, really beautiful job. I want to hold the next two pieces as one. We're going to listen to it as one piece, because it really is just one of the most perfect transition things I've ever heard in my life. I want you to hear it that way. And then we'll talk a little bit about this. So this is Chords That Feel Sad, and You Are the One.
It's normal to feel sad. This is why sometimes these kinds of chord progressions help. Thank you.
Oh my God. I'm really like, so, So first of all, this song is like the most, this is the song. Like, I literally was like, Autumn, can we make a music video where this is me?
Yes.
Like, I'm not kidding. Autumn's like, no, but cute.
Adrian literally said a whole treatment for
I was like, I have a
two music
treatment.
video concepts for this song.
I did, and I was like, the main one that I want to tell you about is where it's just me singing into the camera. Because it's singing my life with your words, like literally. But anyway, this is the banger. This feels like such a banger. This feels like such an incredible song. And I just want to share that Autumn shared an acoustic version of this song with me, I think maybe last year. Just her and a piano singing the song. And already it was like a hit in my heart. Like I knew immediately, like, this is songwriting gold. Like this song, you can strip it all the way down, you can build it all the way up. I was blown away by where you went with it. But what I love that happened on the album is that because you do that chords interlude with your kiddo, Meradiator, and then it comes into this, we still get the feeling of what the song, like how it plays out acoustically into what it ends up becoming, which is like the pop anthem of the world. So start us off with like, yeah, tell us a little bit about this song, that feeling of you were the one, which is so incredible. Mairéad being involved in it. Yeah, I just want to hear what you want to offer us about this and the transition, which is, again, I don't know that there's enough words for how great that transition is,
Well,
but
and we have to, I feel like we have to really honor Zay,
yeah,
our mastering
that's how you win
engineer. We
Grammys,
have to
right? Okay.
honor
'Cause I'm like,
Zay. Zay was the one who really like figured out exactly the right timing for the transition. And we're so lucky. I mean,
perfection,
truly, we are
perfection,
so
perfection.
lucky. This song, this is a straight up pop banger. You know what I'm
It
saying? And
is.
I love that that's where we landed with it. And it makes sense because where it started is that I wrote this song while I was taking a songwriting class via this platform called Studio, where you take these like songwriting classes that are taught by like, established musicians who, where it, you're not interacting with them directly. It's like you're interacting with lessons that they've recorded, and then you're completing assignments. So the teacher of this class was her, and I was really like, it was really a songwriting class. And so in many ways, I was following a more traditional set of rules in terms of how you construct a pop song.
Yeah.
And
You
it was,
mean like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus,
yeah. And
that kind of thing?
also both, I mean, her approach to that particular class was like, what does it look like to start from chords, to start from the music, versus what does it look like to start lyrically from the narrative?
Ah, cool.
And this particular song, I started from narrative,
Okay, cool.
and then found the chord progression after I had like started writing the lyrics to the song. And Mairéad was supposed to be asleep and came down while I was working out the chord progression. And part of my songwriting process is like I just do a lot of like improvising while recording myself on voice memo notes, which is why I call
Yeah.
myself the Taylor Swift of the process. And
Yes.
so
Same, same, same.
I mean, voice memo notes, thank God.
Yeah, thank
But
God.
and so I just happened to still be recording when she came down. She was having a hard time sleeping. She was sad. And I was like, oh gosh, am I making you sad by having these like sounds floating through the house while you're trying to sleep? Like, I don't know. And so it was just magical that I happened to capture that audio. It was a
Oh my
very
God.
tender, sweet moment where she just came and sat down next to me on the piano bench.
Yeah, and having her little voice forever caught like, oh.
I just feel
Anyway, I
sad.
just feel sad. Oh, swoon my heart. And so then we go into this pop banger where, I think we all recognize this feeling, right? Like I really love that it's just like I want to tell everybody about this. It's nothing's ever been like this before. And now I'm totally embarrassed because oh my God, life is lifing and it's all you're not what I thought. And now I have to get out. And you made some major shifts in this. from the acoustic version to the pop banger, which feel like they make it more bang. Like it's like we, there's such an uplifting, like when I first heard the song, it touched into such a sad place and it made me cry and it made me, you know, I was just like, this is a song about grief. And it feels like a song about victory, the way that it ended up. And so I would love to hear from the team, any of the things that you're like, yeah, here's some of the choices we made, or here's how we knew that we needed to head in the direction of victory.
The bridge.
That's what you saw me point at. I'm like, Meryl, like,
claim that Meryl, bridge, Meryl.
Meryl, talk about the bridge.
And this, I'm turning behind me to the altar that Autumn built. I mean, this is now my altar, but I didn't have an altar there before.
Oh, wow.
This is where like I learned, like, you know, why my heart is beating is because I'm like this. I'm learning so much from you even right now. So Autumn taught me about building an altar in the studio. And now I do that because I'm like, why was I not doing that? We spend time that way. We can open portals and close portals responsibly. So a lot, in other words, a lot happened in these, how many days were we here? 4 days or something? 5 days. It was like, it felt, we did all this in 5 days. And they were, I mean, some of them I was like, I don't know what this is going to happen. So a lot of it's a blur because it's literally a blur of time travel. But that I remember, like, if we just change the bass line for the don't tell me, just change that bass line. That's like, that's an old songwriting trick. You take it to another key. And then when you erupt to the original key, victory, I told everybody.
Yes, you're like, we're up here now. Yeah. Okay. Wow, brilliant. That's brilliant.
I would say that some of the of what I bring from my 30 years of experience working in theater and working in religious spaces is constantly asking, you know, where are we? What is the world we're creating? What is the character that you're creating? And this one was really fun because after California, Autumn sent the demos that were made there. And I was like, this is great. Like, I love this. And there were some harmonies that I had done previously in different iterations that we had done. And Autumn was like, I need those harmonies. I need those harmonies. And so I went into the studio and I was just like, all right, who's my character? I was like, oh yeah, I'm the sassy best friend who she was talking to. And I just got up in the mic with the best falsetto that I could bring. Yeah. Trying to bring some Lady Gaga, Beyonce telephone action.
Okay, I feel it. Oh, the lineage is pure.
And, and it was just such a joy to like add that like character to the song. And Autumn was so right, you know, like we needed that. And yeah, it just
Sorry, just the heart and your harmonies at the end, Nehemiah, just take the song to a completely different place. It's just like,
it does.
It's like, now we're space travel.
Yes, let's go bigger. Let's go bigger. And one last thing before we move on to the next super banger is, Autumn, in the original song, you didn't have that don't tell me not to go. Did that just emerge in the recording? Was it improvised?
Yeah.
Like, basically, how did you know that was needed?
Well, Meryl identified that the bridge needed to go take us somewhere else so that we could, like, as you said, Meryl, erupt back into the main line. And so when Meryl was, the way I remember it is that Meryl started experimenting with changing the bass line. And I was like, okay, well, the bridge that I originally wrote isn't going to fit here. And I think I was also already feeling this sense of like, I don't even want that there, you know? And so then I improvised this other vocal line. And it was great because this other vocal line was like, I feel like it just takes us into this like real, I don't know, like synth 80s kind of feel of like.
It changes it so it just, much.
Because then we're returning, but we're not just returning. We're not just returning to where the song was, like we're returning to like a mountaintop, it feels like. And
Yes.
And then it's like from the mountaintop. For me, the vibration of the end of the song is like from up here, I can see everything. I can see how I got here.
Yes.
And I can see what this means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, I, there's so much in this that's like endings, but boundaries. And that part feels like you're talking about this ending. It, you know, it's like, I couldn't do it, but I knew that I should walk out the door. And then it's like, don't tell me not to go. Like the maturing happens inside the song. It's just so thrilling to me. But I'm like, don't tell me not to. Actually. Anyway, so it's just like, I'm already gone. Right. Like, which is so much of this album. And I think that takes us into this next song that we're going to listen to, which hopefully you've heard. This is the single off of the album. There is an outstanding music video for this, in which you can both see Nehemiah and Dwight, and you can see Meryl, you see the studio, you see Alyssa, and then you get to see Autumn in all her superstar, rock star radiance, Rihanna eyes, just doing the whole damn thing, dancing around. Lex directed it. It's crazy. Anyway, so let's get into it. Let's go. Deserving. Oh my God. This song. So this song, you know, I heard that you were picking singles and this was actually the least likely to be the single. And it then became the most likely, like, we've got to just turn this all the way up and roll around Oakland. Tell me a little bit about what happened with this song.
I love the journey of this song. I love the journey of this song because truly, it's a song that heading into recording, I had really complicated feelings about. Like, I hated the demo recording of it. I didn't like the way my vocals sounded on our demo. I felt like it was really whiny and repetitive. And it is repetitive, which is important. Ends up being an important part of the song. But, and so it was this weird thing where I, like, heading into recording, I was like, I know we need to record this song. I have a sense that it's going to become something really amazing. And for me, part of it was it has these two opposing piano lines. And yes. I was really into, when I was writing the song, that was part of what hooked me, is like these two opposing piano lines that happen in the song, and plus the repetition. And I remember feeling like really excited about what was channeling through me when I was writing it. But then in the process of trying to get it ready to record, like, it was like, I couldn't quite figure out how to get it to pop banger status, which is where it ended up. I should also say that, like, I this is a song that I wrote. And then during one of Nehemiah and I's times together in New York City, Nehemiah and I together improvised like the second half of the song. And so, like, Nehemiah,
which is that, what do you consider to be the second half?
But I shouldn't say second half, but there's like a weird moment where it goes off in this other direction. Like, heart is a strange thing. Heart is a tangled thing. Like, that part of the song was improvised by Nehemiah and I together in his home studio. He improvised the piano line. I improvised the lyrics of that part. And then we were like, okay, let's make sure we keep that. But at the time, like, as we're heading into the studio, we don't know how to connect the first part of the song with the second part of the song. And I'm coming in.
It's like Sesame Street, where it's like this.
how do they go together? How do they go together? And then it just so happened, I think I'm remembering this correctly, that this was the first song that Meryl and I worked on together. Wow. And it was just the two of us on our day one in the studio. Mm. And Meryl did this wild ass thing where she basically was like, I'm going to set you up here. I'm going to set you up. She set me up in front of the drum kit. She set me up on the piano. She set me up with a microphone to do all the claps and snaps and all of these weird noises. And then we did a bunch of different.
The claps and snaps and the way it somehow sounds like so wet and organic and like, it's so visceral. I just wanted to take a moment to be like, storm cloud. It's
that
so good.
Was all improvised in studio, like, okay. And Meryl just like recorded me doing a bunch of different things and then layered them. And and similarly,
brilliant, Meryl, brilliant.
You know, I mean, the track includes both like my acoustic drums as well as Dwight's drum programming.
Your acoustic drums, sister.
Yeah, okay. Which, like, I don't play the drums, but like,
but yes, you do play the drums.
But apparently I do. And so,
with the right team, you do.
You know, but I think that I think all of this is part of the journey of how this became the single, because it was like this is Meryl and I's first morning together, where we're like, we're opening the portal together, and Meryl is partly helping to open the portal just by like showing me. Look at everything you can do. You are a musician. You are completely capable of interacting with every single instrument in this room. Here's the Moog. Here's the Prophet. Here's the shakers. Here's the tambourine. Like, use whatever you want. And so there's more. There's so much more to this story. But I guess the thing that I want to share is that. We ended up working on the song that first day. We ended up circling back to it a few days later and recording more of the harmonies, which is how you end up hearing Meryl and Alyssa's beautiful harmonies on the heart is like, that's, you know, so gorgeous, this doo-wop thing that I like, I don't know, three nights into recording, I like was about to go to bed and I was like, it needs a doo-wop moment.
It's a doo-wop.
You know, like there's, it needs a Lauryn Hill so doo-wop moment.
Good. You know? And your vocals on that doo-wop moment are insane.
And literally, like I'm
as your sister, I'm like, get out of my life. What?
Thank you. And as I'm recording that, Alyssa is like standing across from me being like, yeah, girl, yeah. You know, it was like, so, it was so amazing. But the moment where I was like, this is the single is this. Every day we would like end recording session and produce like a version of the mix of the file for all of us to share, to listen to, so that we could like give ourselves feedback. And I would like, I got into through a strange incident, I ended up having a Tesla as my rental car. And
oops,
I have a Tesla, which they just hand out in Oakland. And yeah. And so one of the days I left the studio to drive back to Mac's house, and I like connect my phone to the speaker and put on the Deserving file on the Tesla speaker, and I'm driving down the highway. And I was like, oh, it's a banger. And I rolled down the window and I put my hand out the window and I'm just like waving my hand out the window, singing along to myself, being like, this shit is going to be on the radio.
And it is.
And it is. And it is. And it is.
So mote it be, as Octavia says. I want to hear from the team. Yuck. Like Meryl, like Nehemiah, like tell us about this fucking masterpiece.
If I can go wide focus for a second, we are all, it's been part of my journey as calling myself a producer and then producing other people to note how, just like in all of the systems that we talk about, you talk about on this podcast, and we talk about culturally, this is another one where we are told, get into your silo and you only get an expertise in this one thing, and that's all you know how to do, and just do your job. Okay. You are not, if you're not a quote unquote musician, you're not a musician. And part of that first day did feel like, you know, in order to get where we need to go, in order to time travel, Autumn needs to know that you know all these instruments, like that, you know, it's as if we have to time travel to the future where you're listening to yourself on the radio and be like, you're already here. You need to see yourself play the drums. You need to see yourself build with you, not me, like the quote unquote expert. You need to see yourself creating these things. And I'm like, how that, the moving part to me, because I remember maybe one of those days with Alyssa, we did some, I led you in some vocal, like freeing your voice exercises, but then to be at the pressing record on you singing that way when I feel like I've seen it all. It was like seeing the flow. It was so beautiful. I'm so glad we captured it. I'm so glad it's going to be on the radio.
Yes.
And it is on the radio.
And I mean, I want to really affirm the weirdness of it all, right? That it's like, it's a song where Autumn's strange birdness is all up in it. Like, it's like, this is a fucking weird song, actually. Yeah. And the, I don't even know how to describe the weird, like, you're doing all this, like, stuff that's like, yes, all that, like, glitching and, like, are we laughing? Are we losing our minds? Like, I'm just so excited that all that's in there with a doo-wop pop banger, right? It's really unique. So for this last piece, I actually want to play the next two songs back to back, because this is, I think, the completion portal, right? We go into this place of like, yeah, just the devastation, the heartbreak, the completion, and then Don't Be Afraid. It's all good. So here we go. We're going to listen to Oh Earth and then Don't Be Afraid from The Animal in You.
You were a moon in my sky,
Everyone's crying. Okay. So everyone is weeping. I want you to know, Autumn, sister to sister, that, oh, earth, and don't be afraid. The combination of these has healed something in me around my grief that I've been feeling, carrying for this past year. And you've gotten to witness some of it, because every time you would play these songs, it was like something would just break open and a dam, you know, is like undone. And I'm so proud of you for creating work that is this, has this level of emotional integrity to it. These are brave lyrics. These are brave and beautiful songs. The simplicity and the rawness of them allow them to do such deep work. So yeah, we have just a few minutes left with the whole team. And so I just want to hear what y'all want us to know about these songs.
Wow. I guess I could say, as like starting framing, O Earth is the oldest song that I wrote on this EP. I wrote it in 2017. And it was the hardest one for me vocally to record in studio, because I had to work really hard to access the place that I was in when I wrote the song in order to be able to record it. But once I got there, like I felt myself making new sounds when I recorded this song. And then the thing I'll say about Don't Be Afraid is my favorite song that I've ever written. And it was very important to me to record it. This song, it was like, I had this weird territorial thing that happened, the Amaya Witness, where I was like, I have to play the piano part on this recording. It is very important to me that it's me. And I still wouldn't be able to explain why that is, but that just was. Yeah. But this song, I'm sure maybe it has to do with the origin. This is a song that I wrote in 2022. I literally channeled this song. I was literally like improvising on my piano late at night by myself in my home. And then I felt it coming and I like hit record. I hadn't been recording myself. And then I hit record and I just, and so like lyrically, this song is completely consistent with the way that it came through. Like it lyrically is not any different than how I originally wrote it, but there's so much more that we added to it. And Dwight can talk about, this is the song where the off the wall beat that Dwight wrote, that we were like, I was like, this is maybe a remix, but like, absolutely not. Like, this doesn't make any sense as like a beat for this song. Well, this is a Meryl Dwight moment of how this, how it came to be this one.
Tell
Meryl,
us more.
Do you want to go first, Meryl?
Yeah.
That was a high five.
Oh. High five, Meryl. Yeah.
You tell us first, Meryl, because I know that you have a little faster hop off. And so.
Oh, I mean, it's my favorite of, if I have to choose a favorite, I go between a lot of them, but this, I just need to hear Don't Be Afraid like every day of my life, every day. And I love the O Earth, Don't Be Afraid combination. I love how songs are worlds, like Nehemiah, you're talking about. Like I love how one day a song can be about a personal heartbreak and then the next day it can be about earth grief, you know? And how I think that the channeled nature of those lyrics, just let it be, you know, when working, just like, what does it sound like when Dwight's rhythmic playground is in there? And what happens when we create this, like, I don't know, Autumn, let me do crazy shit on this song. You let me do, like, I was like, you know, like, can we chop it here? But I'm so curious. And I also want to say that I think the only danger, I've been thinking about this a lot, the only danger in talking about channeling stuff
is that it doesn't give credit to the skill. And that, like, can we also say that there's so much, all of our years of preparation are in preparation for the channeling. And I, and so when, right? And so when Dwight's, talk, when Absolutely. Dwight's talking about, you know, what your skill, I felt, Dwight, part of your skill was you knew to ask. You knew to ask, like, well, what, you know, tell me about this song. And then from there, you intuited what might be there. And I think I just want to shout that out as a skill and as a lifetime earned skill. You know, you have learned mm-hmm. that skill, and it's so wise. And I think that's, we need to say that that's how the song ended up there.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful, Meryl, that you said this piece around channeling, because I think about this often, like we are instruments, like to channel. If you are a flute with two holes, it doesn't matter how intricate the song is that's coming through you. You've only got two notes, right? But if you're a flute with 20 holes, the skills, the carving, the wood, everything, so much more can come through. Yeah, Dwight, tell us what Meryl said you're going to tell us.
I'm grateful for Meryl and you, Adrian, just opening up the channel skill building conversation. And yeah, a year before offering to make beats for this album, I took 3 months of production classes from a producer here in Philly, Harry Zelnick. And it was, I don't know why I was taking these lessons other than like, I was just like, I usually got to wait for other producers to give me beats. But I really brought so much of what I learned there, and he really supported me to have fun and be playful and to keep things simple with beats and think about nuance as well. Like, you know, he just really opened up a lot of confidence along with the confidence and just, yeah, being joyful when doing something like making beats. So these two songs were, like the others, I made these playgrounds, and Don't Be Afraid was the song where I like made this thing that was totally, I was like, this might be the remix, you know, Autumn. And, but it had, you know, it had this drive, it had this sort of bop to it, and it ended up being what got used. And yeah, Meryl's insight and the yeses of Nehemiah and Autumn, you know, allowed it to be there. But I really, yeah, just try to listen to what we wanted the songs to be about, have the beats like accompany the lyrics and the spirit of the song, and both like kind of like stay out the way. Like I didn't want any of the beats on any of the songs to like be the thing, you know. I'm like, how do you both know your role and stay out the way, you know, stay out the way? And I was just trying to do that.
Yes, God, yes.
As I like, yeah, was a part of this project. So
beautiful. Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have to say, you know, I have been one of Autumn's main collaborators. Like in life, we have gotten to collaborate so much with each other. And it's been so, there's been such a sense of like compersion and Freudenfreude and like just joy at watching her find the right collaborators for something else, something other than us, right? Something other than our this path. I'm like, you've got this whole other, she's like, I am a fucking rock star and I can feel it. And what do I do with that? And it's like, you have to find the right people. And she really found the right people with y'all. So I just bow down to all of you for the collaboration you have offered to her. I'm grateful.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you all so much. I'm just like in love with all of you.
I love you all and so grateful, so grateful.
Audience, you know, to our listeners, I know that you all have known all this time how incredible Autumn is, but I hope you enjoyed this experience and have been enjoying the album, and share it with your people. Request it in your local radio stations. Use it for ritual, use it in your events, use it as the backdrop of your IG videos, like, you know, add it to a playlist, right? You know, we are a whole community here. Like Autumn has made this thing and it flows forward with all the values and the creativity that we want to bring to how we survive the end of the world. Like we grieve and we honor and we create and we collaborate and we build altars and we make magic and we fall in love and we do it again and we do it again. Thank you so much for this artistic work, sister.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing us onto the show.
Love you.